Season 3 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast is brought to you by Triple R Nutrition. Triple R Nutrition offers you top-of-the-line supplements while supporting a worthy cause. Triple R Nutrition is partnered with Wired and Vision in El Salvador, so part of their proceeds go towards helping support their mission in El Salvador. So you can make sure that you're maximizing your potential while supporting a worthy cause. Go check them out. Hey, listeners of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in and making seasons 1 and 2 of the podcast so special. We're looking forward to season 3. We got tons of exciting new guests on for the podcast. It's going to be a really great season 3, so stay tuned for that. We want to make sure that we are offering the best product for you guys. So for that reason, we have a survey for you guys to fill out. It'll be in the description of this episode, so make sure that you're filling that out. When you fill out that survey, your name will get put into a raffle for a tub of Triple R Nutrition Protein. Thank you, guys. Make sure you're filling out that survey. We really appreciate that feedback. Take care. Enjoy the episode.
That's right. Ricardo's Rules of Resilience. Tune in, people. Every episode is impactful. You become more burly just by listening. Let's go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. I'm your co-host, Coach Alton, along with Coach Ricardo. And today, you guys, we got a super special guest to kick off season 3 of the podcast. We got psychotherapist and performance coach Tara Miller in the house. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm stoked to be here also.
Yeah, it's going to be super great to dive into your expertise. Super pumped for it. And so to give the listeners just an idea of who you are, if you could give us a quick elevator pitch on who you are and what you're about.
Sure. So I'm a psychotherapist turned performance coach. I came from 12 plus clinical practice years of trauma therapy, and with the pandemic really shifted my focus to working with high level performers, entrepreneurs, business owners, their C-suite, anybody in the high pressure, high performance role to help manage, regulate, and optimize your nervous system for basically lifelong resilience.
That's awesome. And kind of one of the things I wanted to dive into is the parallels between sports and your real life situations, because a lot of our listeners are people that are in the professional realm of things, but they like to compete in DECA events. So what are kind of the parallels between sport and then your performance in your everyday job?
Well, I really believe that I came from a background of athletics. My kids have both been in sports. I see the value of sports in so many resilience building ways, from the discipline of the training to the very important pieces we often miss in our regular lives, which is rich celebration, either individually or as a team, that sense of community. All of those are resilience building skills that are parallel, that can be transferred into our work lives, into our private lives. So I think when you're involved in athletics, when you're involved in a sport, you know that you can get a win in one part of your day just by going to train, just by showing up for your sport. And so knowing that you've had a win stacked into your day because of a sport, I really believe bleeds over into the confidence and what you're looking for in mindset through the rest of your day, no matter what your industry is.
Well, I agree with Alton that, you know, anytime that we're able to have an expert on resilience onto our podcast, which is all about resilience, we're feeling like, whoo, this is a home run. This is the gold standard. So I just wanted to add my voice and say we are so happy you're joining us today, Miss Tara. And part of what we see, the importance of resilience, you know, whether it's in athletics or in your family life and your job life, is that one thing affects the whole. You know, some people will say how you do anything is how you do everything, which isn't exactly true. But the overall point is true that, you know, if we quit at working out, we're going to quit when it's time, you know, when we're under pressure at work. And if we quit on our family, we'll quit on our job and vice versa. So I would just like for you, if you would, to be able to share with us the ties between being resilient and how it intertwines into your whole life?
So from my perspective and from my training, the seat of all resilience is a regulated nervous system. So I'm really, when I'm working with people, I'm working with their lizard brain. I'm working with their survival brain, their primal mind, the part of them that kicks into fight or flight or freeze and then comes out into recovery. And so the work that I do, whether it's in athletics or whether it's with business owners, is really the same principle, which is you need to have a foundation of a regulated, resilient nervous system, which means that you know when threat is appropriate and when it's just an idea, when it's just something that comes in from your mind. You need to be able to optimize yourself for performance by bringing yourself into an elevated state of readiness, but not have it be spill over into high anxiety or panic, and to start noticing the difference so you can calibrate your own nervous system. And then really looking at the piece of recovery, which is you amp up to perform, you amp up to present, you need to be in an elevated semi-fight or flight state to do your best performance and competition, but you also, like an athlete, need to incorporate that deep recovery. So if you're in a high-stress job or you're running a high-stress business, the push and the grind for a lot of type A's is just the adrenaline is so natural and it seems like it's everlasting and self-perpetuating, but it does have an end point. If you haven't learned to incorporate celebration of your wins, but also that deep recovery, learning how to bring yourself into a parasympathetic state, into a rest and digest state, so that not just your body can recover from all of the chemicals that you used for performance, but also that your mind can recover. So just like building into your sport, just like building up performance or building strength, we can also build those neural pathways in the brain and practice and repeat to strengthen those. So for me, they go hand in hand. And if you're regulated and you learn this in any area of your life, it will just become who you are. It will bleed over into every area of your life.
Well, let's go already using one of Ricardo's rules of resilience, which is when you stop celebrating your wins, you stop having them. Already bringing it up. I love it. Yeah, that's great. And so what are some tools to make sure that we're not constantly in that fight or flight state, that we're in that rest and digest when we need to be, and that we're able to access the fight or flight when we need to, but we're ensuring that we're not constantly in that heightened state, like you mentioned when you're talking, that we don't want to be in that heightened state at all times, because it's going to wear us down.
And it can become an addiction. So we become addicted to the state that we stay in the most. The brain likes to use the familiar state for efficiency, even if it's not good for us. So the ability to know when you're elevated, because we can get stuck in it and it becomes the new normal. So how I work is helping people understand the cues of fight or flight in their own body. We often know it in our minds, but emotions and thoughts are the last part of the brain to get information. They're just symptoms of what's going on underneath. So when I'm working with somebody, they're telling me a story about something that's stressful or performance related or a trauma, and I'll interrupt the story, because what I'm really interested in is what's happening in their body. The body, the felt sense, is the first place to react to fight or flight, and most people don't even know that they're in it. So if they start to tell me a story or they start to relive a memory, I can immediately see by watching their body. Their breath changes, they'll notice that their heart rate is increased, the speed, the pace, the tightness of their voice, the micro expressions on their face, the tension in their body. I'll pick up on those cues because I'm observing and attuning to them, and I'll interrupt the story, because they're going to take me down a rabbit hole if I don't. I'll interrupt the story and check in with, what are you noticing in your body right now? And often they're not breathing, or they're like shallow breathing and they didn't even notice. So we're pattern interrupting what the autopilot is driving people into, and then providing a resource. So as you notice that your breath has changed, that your muscles are tight, where do you notice feeling relatively more comfortable in your body? We redirect the primal mind into a place in the body that's working perfectly just as it should, and it will automatically initiate parasympathetic. And then what we're doing is bringing awareness to, this is what it feels like when you're in autopilot in fight or flight. And now we're going to show you that just quickly within your own body, you can come back down to parasympathetic, and we're going to track it. How do you notice that your breath has changed? How do you notice that your posture has changed, or that the pace of your speaking has slowed? When people bring what's unconscious into consciousness, and Carl Jung was famous for saying this, it already creates change, but it gives them a sense of, I have control over the state that I'm in, and I can calibrate it at any time I want on demand. Because we do have that capacity. If we just start to learn how the autopilot is showing up in that fight or flight, we can interrupt it and then redirect it into a rest and digest. And the more we practice it, it's a muscle that gets stronger, and you just start doing it automatically.
What a beautiful process to guide people, as you said, from what is in the unconscious to the conscious. Because with those things floating around under the surface, they come bubbling out. And we often, very often, we're assigning them the wrong cause, right? We look around and we see, oh, well, that must be because of this or just because of this. And we grab on, our minds latch on to whatever we are conscious of to explain it away. And the trouble is we've 9 times out of 10 or more grabbed on to the wrong thing. So how do you identify that? What would be a question you would guide someone to ask themselves as they start to notice their elevated state?
So sometimes the story doesn't even matter. It's just a habit that we're going to train out of the nervous system, and showing them where they have resource in their body, but also in their mind, in visualizing, you know, a time in their life that they felt amazing, a time in their life they felt the most confident, a big win, a perfect vacation. And as they tell the story of those resourced memories that they have, their brain lights up as if it's actually happening, and it floods the body with chemicals that support whatever that state is. So we use a lot of the body to tune the nervous system, but also the mind. But we direct the mind into positive, winning historical moments or goals, because without that, the brain, like you said, will latch on to something to try and find meaning of why we're feeling the way we're feeling. And it will almost always go to a negative bias of something that we've already experienced from our past that we've created some identity around. So the process that I work with is, you know, we're doing these simple exercises. I'm guiding people through their, you know, what's happening in their nervous system and in their bodies. But what we're actually doing is also helping people take the focus off old identity, old stories, and moving into creating a sense of confidence in this moment and controlling their own state and inner experience, but also building forward, which is less tricky than trying to just reframe everything cognitively or helping people unpack all of their old stories. We really want to look at moving forward and moving people into a different identity that is all about success and being able to be in control of themselves.
I absolutely love that. And one of our season 2 guests, Robin Leggett, talked about how she reframed her story. Her whole life she'd been told that she wasn't an athlete. She was the last person picked when they had sports and during PE and stuff such as that. And she kind of associated with that self. She really took on that nerd identity. But later on in life, she was able to reframe that. And she works with DECA, which is a fitness company. And she does crazy stuff, like does DECA fits on roller skates. Now she does all sorts of cool stuff such as that, and even got involved in roller derbies. And also I love how I believe David Goggins talks about it, the cookie jar. You got to reach into those old memories of your success and stuff such as that. So what's the best way to kind of develop that cookie jar, make sure we got some nice, tasty, double chocolate chip cookies in the cookie jar for us?
Call it the history of victory. So people want to journal and they kind of want to regurgitate and vomit all of the pain in their mind to try and get it out. But I actually encourage people, if you're going to journal, if you're going to spend time in focus, focus on what you want more of. That's how you train your unconscious mind to look for more of that in your life, but also retrieve more of it from your memory. So that's a big part of it, which is if you're going to journal, sit down, even at the end of every year, it's a good time to do this, is write down your victories, only your victories, not the suffering, not the pain, not the challenge, not the losses. You don't need to learn more from those in this moment. What you need to do is start developing a bank, that cookie jar of victories and wins. And every time you catch yourself going into an old story of an old identity that you don't want anymore, you pattern interrupt that and you force yourself to go into your cookie jar and pull out a time where you felt exactly the way that you want to feel in this moment. And then you build on that with creating new identity for the future. You have to become the next person of your life before you actually will develop into that next person of your life. So you got to create it in your mind first and then give detail to it. Notice what happens in your body as you're thinking of yourself as a different person, because we have the ability to change so much of our personality, so much of our capability, just by thinking in a different way and connecting it to the excitement or the relaxation or whatever state we're in our physical body.
I once heard a neuroscientist, and as you're speaking, this just it's banging around, it's screaming in my head. I have to let this out. But I once heard a neuroscientist say that what we pay attention to, we remember, and the more we remember, the more ingrained it becomes. So that sooner or later, the only future we can envision is the past we've already lived. And so I know it's something of an oversimplification, but working with my resilience clients, I'll talk about, you know, you go up on a hill on fresh fallen snow and you're going to sled down. And, you know, the first time you go down that path, you're plowing that new path. And then you go up to the top of the hill. Well, what's the easiest path to go down is the one you already made. And pretty soon that snow is all packed down and you're just zipping down that. And if you're not careful, the sled will take off before you get your butt in the seat, right? And so that those pathways in our mind can become the same way. They're just firing off. They're well-worn pathways. And, you know, similar to when we first start driving and both hands on the wheel, and now, you know, 20 years later, you're doing makeup, talking on the phone, and you know, and shifting gears all at the same time, right? So that can be how well ingrained those pathways become in our brain. And so when someone's really battling, you know, this identity of history, as you said, versus the future, what would be some of the things that they need to rewire to get that sled to go down on some fresh snow? What would be some thoughts or questions to help them redirect that sled?
Yeah, well, what you're talking about is the concept of firing and wiring, that how neurons that fire together wire together. And so every time when we have an experience, we have neurons that fire up and then they hold hands and wire together. And then every time we tell the story of that memory or we think of that memory, the same thing happens. And then we're also getting the chemical flood of the same experience in this moment that we had from that moment. And the more we relive those events, the tighter the firing and wiring is. So it's like you said, and when we talk about it in my work, it's, you know, you're going through a field for the first time, and you have, the first time you do it, it's a new experience that takes more effort because you're trudging through and trampling down all the tall weeds. But the more you go on that pathway, it wears it down and wears it down. And then it's effortless to do that, not just because you've worn the obstacles down, but you've also, you're familiar with it and you've also trained through it. So it's the same with anything. If somebody's stuck in really negative old spaces and old stories, we don't continue to indulge them in this work because that just fires and wires them even tighter. Even if it's so, oh, well, how could you think about it differently? Or what do you feel about that? I never ask those questions because it's irrelevant for what we want the brain to focus on. That's in the past. We want to close that off. And I'm going to interrupt you every time you go back there. And we're going to replace that memory with something else. We're going to replace that pattern with something else. We're going to fire and wire in this moment in a session, and then we're going to repeat until that's a new brain habit that your brain wants to use first. It's the sled going down the hill over and over and over again. It takes effort because it's new. The brain doesn't want something new. It wants something familiar. So we're fighting against this part of our brain, but it is the way, and it, from what I know, it's the, really the only way to create new lifelong brain habits and new identity. But you have to let the past be interrupted and let it go and let someone guide you into an alternative.
Would you be able to provide kind of an example? Let's just say we have an athlete or maybe a professional who struggles with, they kind of have this perception around themselves that when the lights are brightest, they kind of crumble under the pressure. What would be kind of an example of going through this refiring and rewiring process?
So instead of letting them soak in that story and that old identity and talk to me about it a little more, I'd ask them to describe in a sentence what they wanted to work on and what the issue was. And then I would look into their past for what resources they already have in their nervous system. So I would say, has there ever been a time when you did this well or when you didn't do this thing that you don't want to do anymore? So we would kind of, the only gold mining we would do in the past would be for something that is where they've already shown somewhere in their system, somewhere there's a pathway where they did exactly what they wanted to do the way they wanted to do it and had a win. If we find that, then I bring that up. So we've interrupted the old story. I'm bringing in a resource they weren't familiar with. And as we're going through it, I'm asking them what they notice in their body, and I'm watching for cues of their face and their tone and their bodies. And I'm helping them create a new experience in this moment as if it's happening in this moment to reinforce that old pathway they had forgotten about. So we'll use the past in that context to help them build a new muscle that they forgot that they even had. If they've never done this well, and this happens a lot of times, we will often create an alter ego and talk about who does this well that you know, or what professional or what icon or what superhero or what, who does this well in, and it doesn't have to be in reality, who does this well, how would they go in and do what you're doing? And as they tell me about how someone else would do it, their state, because of their mirror neurons, will model the state that that person would do it in. So we borrow a bit of that energy and borrow a bit of that state, but then I help integrate it into their body in this moment. So their brain, their primal brain, is fooled into thinking they actually did it. So now it's a resource and we build on it and practice until they start to move away from the old and into a new. And it's all because the brain doesn't care if it's real or imaginary. So why not play with imagination to fill in missing resources and developmental gaps so that you can get to the next level?
That's so fascinating. I love that. And when you're going through that process with someone, what are sort of the cues and that you pick up from that are kind of negative and holding people back when you're going through that process, when they're kind of explaining why they're not performing very well to you?
So they'll either go into fight or flight themselves as they're telling the story. So if I asked either of you to tell me a story about like a really upsetting time in your life, if you told me the story, you would fire and wire and release all those chemicals and go into that experience as if it's happening right now. And I'd be able to see it and I would stop it and interrupt it and replace it with something else. So a lot of it is just, I'm sitting here, I'm very well regulated, I'm super grounded, I know what questions to ask, you have to trust me to lead them through. And I just stop and pattern interrupt when I see them going physically into that different space. The alternative is some people that are in despair or that they're in freeze, you actually will see them pull away. They'll pull away from you. They kind of collapse in on themselves. There's very quick and easy nonverbal cues that we can see. They lose color from their face. And so watching some of these things, I'll have a sense of what state they're picking up from this old story. And I'll have an idea of whether to bring them out of fight or flight and encourage parasympathetic in the moment, so we do everything in the moment, or I'll help stimulate them up. I'll find another story of confidence to help move them into another state. And then when they've done it successfully, there's always a celebration in the session because it's like, did you see how quickly we were able to move you from this state that you don't like, either despair or anxiety, and move you into this calm, regulated state? It usually takes 60 seconds. And once they're in it, experiencing it in the moment and seeing how quick and easy it is to kind of influence your own nervous system, it's a win because we just continue to repeat that like we're doing a rep at the gym until it's the new identity that they have. So a lot of it is I'm feeling it energetically, but I'm picking up on very visible physical cues.
You got to put the reps in life, right? In everything, we got to put the reps in.
No shortcuts.
There are no shortcuts. Well, Ms. Tara, you know, someone who has become a resilience expert. Usually you didn't stumble into that. You didn't win a lottery or something to be a resilience expert. We usually are in this path because we've had to show resilience in our own life. Would you share with our audience a little bit about how in your own life you've had to be resilient?
And I'll give you the Cold Notes version. I came into adulthood surviving my childhood like everyone else, but I didn't have any massive childhood traumas that I needed to overcome. I had, you know, kind of the normal ones, a few extra medical traumas along the way, but really nothing extra significant. But there was a period of time, a very short period of time in my life where very bad things happened in sequence all at once. And I remember having a choice of how I was going to get through this. And then it ended up becoming a question I ask in my practice regularly. But during that 1 year, I was getting a divorce. I had had a really bad car accident, so I couldn't work out. I couldn't work. I was a journalist at the time. I had this bad shoulder injury. I had two little kids, very small kids I was raising on my own. We had no money. And then my son got very sick 2 months later. They thought he had leukemia. So we were in the hospital for 2 weeks wondering if he was going to be okay. I was battling an MRSA infection and was very sick and didn't know if I was going to be okay. And we were really struggling to get through that year. Got hit by a car again. And then it looked like we were going to survive the year, because you can survive things just by waiting them out, because life continues on. And if you just outlast the thing, you can survive that. That is kind of our natural resilience. But at the end of that year, the divorce was finalized, and then my ex-husband committed suicide. And so he had put a ton of debt onto the home that I had paid him out to raise the kids in. He took his life, and I was left in a state of poverty and despair and so much trauma. And the ways that were offered to me to help and heal were drug therapy and welfare. And I had a moment where I remember digging into the deepest part of myself and saying, how do you want to get through this? Because you have these two little kids looking at you. They need a hero and no one else is around. So what are you going to do? And I took that energy of that defiance of like you are not going to knock me down on this round. So I took that, and I was able to see the right person that did what I'm trained in, this self-regulation therapy, working with the nervous system. I saw her for a year going through these practices similarly for the things I had just been through in that year. And I was able to come out of that medication free, able to work out and be active, able to work, doubling and tripling my income from that point on. And I just changed who I was as a process of the pain, because I made a decision I was going to come out stronger, which I now know is post-traumatic growth, as opposed to being labeled with PTSD and feeling victimized by the circumstances I had no control over. So it was a choice. I had a moment to make a choice. I was lucky enough to be set up with somebody that created this wonderful modality that helps heal people from those things. And as a result of that, and the settlement from a car accident, I was able to go put myself through my master's program at Gonzaga and then start making meaning of the things I had been through to help other people have more hope and resilience and a different outcome in their future going forward. So I never wanted to be a therapist. I really didn't want to be a coach unless I was going to be working in sports. And life happened, and I made a decision, and I had the right resources, and it has changed my life.
Absolutely love that post-traumatic growth instead of PTSD. That's such a great way to reframe that. And your story is just so inspiring of overcoming and not staying down. You just kept on getting back up and back into the saddle. I just absolutely love that. And it's so inspirational. And everybody has their own struggles. Everyone gets knocked down in their own unique ways. What are ways that we can make sure that we're not just surviving, that we're actually going to be thriving through these situations?
It really starts with that decision and the answer to the question. And I use this in my work when people feel like they're in despair. I'll say, 5 years from now, when this is over. So I'm reminding their subconscious mind that this is temporary, that there is an end to this. 5 years from now, when this is over, how do you want to tell the story of how you got through this time in a way that makes you feel proud of yourself? It takes the brain out of feeling stuck and desperate, and it moves it into a place where this is already finished, and I've already done what I wanted to do in the way that I wanted to do it, and I feel good about it. So we're just playing with the state. If you're in that state, you have more resources available to you internally as far as fortitude, but also just in looking for things and people and resources that are going to help you through this time. You can go into a creative state by asking that question. So anybody that feels stuck, that would be the question that I would prompt for them. When this is over, how do you want to tell the story of how you chose to get through this? So this is temporary. You have a choice and you can get through this better than what you imagined. Even just the knowledge of that and having somebody reflect it and reinforce it and say, what do you notice in your body as you tell me this? It's a whole different ballgame from that state versus the state of, I don't know how I'm gonna get through this. Life is terrible. It's not fair. You know, like, It's valid to feel this. It's also better to feel this. So I'm just helping people move into a place where they can actually have more resources to make better decisions to get through the tough things that they're going through.
I really appreciate your willingness to share vulnerably with us and with our audience, because so often people will hear what you just said and write it off. And below, what does this lady know? That's psychobabble. She learned that in school someplace, right? And to know that, no, actually, you have been through plenty of hell to be an expert on this, right? And so when you're telling them, when you're giving them tough medicine, the medicine doesn't always taste good going down. And when you're giving them tough medicine, that they can know, actually, you know this by experience. This really is the truth. And if you'll take some hard advice and take the nasty tasting medicine, it will get better. It's amazing how similar what you just said is to one of Ricardo's rules of resilience. Is instead of asking what if I fail, ask what if I succeed. And that all goes to back to the idea that our mindset is going to determine that reality, right? If I'm going to get through this, it's going to be because, as you said, the decision deep down inside, I made a decision. What's going to happen? What's the end going to look like? What if I succeed instead of just predicting that I'm going to fail? Because whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're probably going to be right. Could you just give us one story of a client that was able to do that against all odds? Of course, I'm not asking you to violate anyone's confidentiality, but in the most generic terms, would you just inspire us all so that anybody listening to this would be able to hear their story and think, oh, well, if they did it, maybe I could too.
I have a great story. It's actually a case study that I was able to get published in a journal, which was, it's in my history of victories because it's so hard to do that when you don't work for a university and have a PhD. But it was a profound story of a woman that had come to me, a former nurse. She had just been released from the hospital for a manic episode, had multiple psychiatric diagnoses, and was referred to me. And it was one of my early clients over a decade ago. And we did this work. And it was really just to be able to get her to not have to go into in and out of the hospital for psychiatric care. And what ended up is we did some work, and within 12 weeks she was, or less, she was approved to go back to work because she was so stabilized. And she was able to drop from 6 different medications down to 1 because she was so resilient and so stabilized. Her nervous system continued to expand in this way, continued to regulate. She really latched onto the work. We worked together for about a year. And then in the 2-year follow-up, not only had she gained a nursing position back, kept her medications just down to 1, she was able to get married, start a family. She was promoted. She had a life within 2 years that from childhood on, with all the trauma she experienced, never existed in her mind that was possible for her. And it was just a matter of one person sitting down, working with her nervous system in this really slow, kind of excruciating way sometimes. But we changed her brain in a way that impacted every part of her life and sustained it. So it's probably one of my most exciting, and especially early in your career, to see the possibility that human beings have to recover and to rebuild and to revamp who we even are beyond what we thought we were capable of. To me, that's the most exciting part of working with the brain. And that would be one of my probably most profound, significant stories.
It's so great to hear those real life stories and just know that it is possible. Like the human, we are resilient as humans and we can overcome so much more than we could ever imagine. And it's so great to hear. And it's also great to hear, coming from a professional, that these Ricardo's rules of resilience, there's some validity to them, that they're not just made up and scribbled down on the back of a shirt. It's awesome to hear you bringing the more of the scientific and the research behind it. And so for people that are looking for some practical ways to get into that ideal performance state, what are some simple things that can help you get into that elevated state that we were discussing earlier?
So knowing what state you're in first helps, because then you can go, do I need to go up? Do I need to come down? So knowing your baseline, knowing how to get yourself into that calm, confident state, whatever tools you use or any of my tools, knowing that you can get yourself into that state and start at what I call baseline. You're at that nice state of readiness where you're not sleeping, but you're not engaged. And then thinking about what state you need to be in. So Tony Robbins talks a lot about state changing and has tricks and tools for how to do this with NLP, but it's really acknowledging the state that I need to be in for performance is, and then usually going back to when you had a great performance. And then you thinking about in that state, when you had this perfect state before, who was around, what was the scenery like? You want to grab all the details you can. What did the gym smell like? What did the, you know, who was there to support me? What do I remember about the lights and the smells and the sounds? And what do I remember about how I breathed in that moment, how I felt in that moment? Taking yourself back to that memory of resource where you were exactly how you need to be now, and thinking in detail and talking in detail about exactly how it felt and what you remembered and how you breathed and how your energy felt and where you felt the strongest. And like, you can just build on the story with a buffet of options for people to start reliving one of their highest, you know, peak emotional experiences as they talk to you about it and tell the right story. It fires, it wires, you get all this chemical flood and it naturally elevates your state. Then bringing awareness, what do you notice in this moment? I feel the way I felt there, I breathe away. And then you can just send people off. Like you do that little power session right before someone goes off to perform and they're in the right state with very little effort because it's already in there. You just grab that neural pathway, you fire it up, light it up in their system, help them connect to it and then send them off and they'll perform better. When I do it with business people, they'll do a webinar right after we do a power session and they make 30,000 more in that webinar than the ones where they just rolled into it on autopilot. So allowing yourself to be coached by somebody that can get you into that state and then actually taking action on it and then making that your fire and wire. So you want to know what state you're in this moment and what state you need to be in the next. And then you grab a resource to put yourself in that state, whatever it might be.
I so appreciate that practical advice. And in a moment, our listeners are going to get a chance to connect with you in case that's really what they want to do, because you know, listening to this, I don't know who doesn't need this. You don't have to, you know. Yeah. I mean, this is incredible where life happens advice. And in a moment, our listeners, we want them to know how they can come get more Tara Miller in their life. But, you know, we always spend time ahead of each episode preparing for our guests and, you know, trying to know the right things so that we would elicit the very best of what you have to offer. And even with our efforts, we sometimes still don't ask the question that you wanted us to ask because there was something on your mind or heart that you would want to share with our listeners. So what question didn't we ask today that you would like to answer and share with our listeners?
Oh, that's a great question to ask me because you asked so many of the good ones. And I didn't know there'd be so many connections with, you know, the flow of conversation with what your rules for resilience is. I think you asked all the questions. I think the biggest focal point that people can take away or understand is that every thought that you have, every story that you tell has a corresponding chemical reaction in your body and lights up neural pathways in your brain to elicit those. And so to be careful of what you believe, what you repeat, what you consciously think about, because these things are happening on autopilot and they can be incredibly toxic to us. They can self-medicate us in the wrong direction. So the capacity for people to readjust, to connect with their body, to connect with their conscious mind and be disciplined about what they're feeding it and allowing themselves to let go of the past so that they can have a different future. It inoculates you against certain stressors by helping you increase your tolerance. The goal is experience every emotion and experience that life is going to bring to you and know that you can tolerate it. Everything's temporary, but you can tolerate the highest highs in full celebration, and you know that you're going to be able to carve in and get out of the lowest lows. And it's not as hard as people think. It doesn't take years of therapy. It just takes the right approach and somebody that's willing to do something different. So those would be the only other things I would add to that.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to add, because many of our listeners are spiritual people, not all, but many are, and there is a direct tie in there, as you've already mentioned, many of the things you've said tie in with our rules of resilience, but what you just shared ties in with the teachings of Scripture so well, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to not think on the things below, but to think on things above that are pure and peace-loving, right? To guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. So much of what you said comes from, and the Scripture does this all the time, I see this all the time, where modern science confirms the ancient wisdom of the Scripture. I just wanted to point that out. I love that tie-in. Thank you.
You're absolutely right about that. It does. And we're seeing that more and more. What we learn about the brain has already been spoken in Scripture as a practice or a mindset. And the stories in the Bible are all about resilience, not just with how God created you to be, but also with the infusion of Him as a stabilizer, a leader, a guider, a sovereign in your life. So I support and believe in all of that. And that's a big part of my life that I love seeing. The science now is supporting what Scripture has always said.
Yeah, and to add on to that, one of the things that I recently learned about is you want to be thinking, aligning yourself and thinking vertically with the things of heaven and focusing on things with God rather than thinking horizontally, like, oh, what is everyone else doing? Everyone else is doing this, so I should go do this, or this is just what is socially acceptable, so I should go do this, but rather aligning ourselves vertically rather than horizontally. I just love that, and thank you so much for your time and your expertise. This has been so great for our listeners, and I know that we got a bunch of listeners that are going to want more of this after just getting a little snippet of you. So what would be the best way for someone to get in touch with you, to work with you more?
Anybody can go to my website, which is braincoach.co, or shoot me an email at tara@braincoach.co, and I'm also on X, on Instagram, LinkedIn.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into another episode of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience, the podcast that gives you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. It's been a wonderful hour with you, Miss Tara Miller. Thank you so much for sharing personally and from your expertise. I know you've blessed us, and I know our listeners are walking away with some gold. We appreciate it. To our listeners, we appreciate you. Thank you for participating in our survey. Thank you for the feedback you give us that helps us to learn and grow and get the guests that you need. If you want more of us in your life, please fill out that survey or reach out to us so that you can get those tools that you need in your life. Until next time, be resilient.
Season 3 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast is brought to you by Triple R Nutrition. Triple R Nutrition offers you top-of-the-line supplements while supporting a worthy cause. Triple R Nutrition is partnered with Wired and Vision in El Salvador, so part of their proceeds go towards helping support their mission in El Salvador, so you can make sure that you're maximizing your potential while supporting a worthy cause. Go check them out.